Praise God, it's good to see all of you. And, you know, as I talk to more and more people from around the United States and around the world, you know, we're fortunate to live not only in this country, but to live in this great state, in this great city, where we can come together and we can worship together, live and in person, without any kind of restrictions, without any kind of, you know, fear that the government's going to come and arrest us or anything like that. We want to thank Governor Stitt for seeing the churches to be essential. Obviously, we know that he's a PK, so, I mean, you know, it's been essential all his life. You know, we want to thank the mayor and the city council here in Broken Arrow to allow us to be able to do this. You know, and we do want to welcome all you that are watching online. You know, no matter wherever you may be, I know some of you, it's 2 in the morning in the middle of, you know, you might be in Germany, you might be in Mexico. Actually, Mexico would be our time zone. No matter where you might be, it's glad to have you with us. We were just talking this week with John Grunewald, and you know, everyone knows John. He's over Rhema, all the Rhemas in Europe, Africa, and the Middle East. All right, that's his area. And so we're talking to our Rhema Germany, and they put out a thing this week that it's having a public meeting in Germany could result in a 2-year prison sentence. All right, as we sit here all in this church together, not socially distanced for the most part, you know, 2 years in prison. And so I said, well, can we advertise we're having a private meeting? We just invited everyone to come. So anyway, I'm sure you couldn't. But I just want to let you know, because sometimes we take things for granted. And sometimes we don't realize the fact that you're sitting right here. I mean, you never realize this. You know, back in the olden days, you know, like 2019, you didn't realize that you would be sitting in the pew thinking, man, I'm glad I could sit here. But there was a time you weren't sitting here. All right, there was a time that even though you could sit here, some of you didn't want to sit here. Whatever, you know, but you know, you're here. Amen. I do want to give a few more things before I start my message. First of all, I mean, I do want to put a plug in for my weekly podcast. Myself and Tony McKinnon, we do a weekly podcast, drop new episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you can pretty much find our podcast wherever you can find podcasts. We're now on iHeartRadio, just started on that, and so iHeartRadio is not easy to get on. We had to be vetted. You know, first of all, it took us two months to be able to have a program, to send them a program, and then it took them like a month to decide they want to put it on the air. So we're excited about that. But we're kind of excited about our guest, actually, that we had our first thing, but last time on Thursday was Gary Crowell, and he kind of talked about what he's done, and you know, and I didn't know Gary actually grew up a Mennonite. He was a Mennonite, Reverend Gary Crowell, and he went from Mennonite to missionary. And so with this episode on this Tuesday, he's going to go in detail, and I asked him, I didn't know if he could or not, because a lot of times we don't want to talk about China. You know, every time you hear about China in the news, it's all bad. But God's doing great works in China, and Gary actually shared with us some stuff that he's doing, because Gary is the one who started Rhema China. He also started Rhema Thailand. He started Rhema Singapore as well. And so Gary shares with us some cool things about Rhema China, what's going on, some things we have online, things like that. So you don't want to miss that episode on Tuesday. One more thing before I get started. I know almost daily now, I get you guys telling me all kinds of great things about my weight loss, and thank you for being so kind. It's pretty awesome. But I have some friends that are here that I want to introduce, and this is the doctors that I see. This is, you know, what kind of started my journey. So I want Dr. Mark and Michelle Sherwood stand up. You know, let them see you. These are my doctors. They run Function Medical Institute, you know, here in Tulsa, and they're the ones that have helped me on my journey. And so, you know, it's, you know, my journey is not just to lose weight, but to be healthy. You know, some people might be skinny and not healthy. Amen. So, before I start my scriptures, first of all, happy Palm Sunday. Many of you might not know what Palm Sunday is. A lot of you know what Palm Sunday is. It's not anything to do with your palm, all right? It's not anything to do with the Book of Palms, because it's really the Book of Psalms, not the Book of Palms. For some people, mess that up sometimes. But anyway, the title of today's message, and this will be one for the books, is Be a Donkey, all right? Be a Donkey. You know, the Army says to be all you can be, and Craig's telling you to be a donkey. So anyway, I'm going to start today in John 3:16. John 3:16, reading from the New King James first. And any of you ever played Craig Trivia, this is the very first memory verse that I can ever remember that I remembered. So it's kind of... Anyway, it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And goes on to say, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I want to read that from the New Living Translation before we talk about it. It says this, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." So, in essence, the whole, New Testament comes down to this one verse. God loved us so much that he gave us Jesus. And because he sent us Jesus, Jesus came to this earth to show the world how much God loves us. And that's what he did. You know, every day he talked about when he was on the earth in the Gospels, he was, "I am about my Father's business. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father." Everything that he did was to amplify God's love. And we've read the Bible. The Bible says that God is love, everlasting love. Now notice here it says that Jesus didn't come to condemn us, but he came to love us. He came to love us into the kingdom. He came to show us how much God loves us. You know, and that's what he still endeavors to do. I mean, he did so much for us. He died upon the cross so that we might have an everlasting life, but he took stripes on his back, and by his stripes, we were healed. He says in John 10:10 that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came so that you could have an abundant life. If you're not having an abundant life, it's not because he didn't come. It's because you're not making use of what he came for. But Jesus came, and here, this is start the Holy Week. Today is Palm Sunday, next Sunday is Easter, and we're celebrating the life of Jesus. We're celebrating his life, and then, next Sunday we celebrate his death and his resurrection, because that one thing changed your life. But you realize if Jesus would have came and gave all the love and did all the thing, but would have never died on the cross, he wouldn't have fulfilled what he came to do, because John 3:16 says he came to this world to show forth God's love to this world. And Palm Sunday, if for some of you that don't know what that really means or anything about Palm Sunday, we'll have to go to Mark chapter 11. Now, it is interesting when a lot of people don't know about Palm Sunday, but they know about Mark chapter 11. See, here's the thing, is a lot of you've only written, maybe you've read it all at some point in time, but you only paid attention to the fig tree and beyond. We learned about Mark 11, 23 and 24, and in order to find out what he's doing there, we have to back up to the fig tree. Maybe you pay attention to him driving out money changers, because that's kind of an interesting thing. But a lot of you haven't really paid attention to Mark chapter 1, or Mark 11, 1. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, just kind of get a more of a modern take on what's going on. It says this, "As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany. And on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of them on ahead." And here's what Jesus told them. He says, "Go into that village over there, He told them, as soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, what are you doing? Just say the Lord needs it and we'll return it soon. Oh, that's a good excuse. You know, if you're ever borrowing someone's stuff, you say, well, the Lord needs it. He'll return it soon. All right. We'll talk about that in a minute, all right? The two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, what are you doing untying that colt? They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garment over it, and he sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields, or palm leaves. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord, blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor, David, praise God in the highest heaven. So Jesus came to Jerusalem, went into the temple. After looking around carefully at everything, he left because it was late in the afternoon. Then he returned to Bethany with his 12 disciples. Interesting part about it is Jesus actually went in the temple that day. He didn't kick anybody out. But anyway, the next day was a little bit different. All right. So here was Jesus. I mean, think about this. Jesus basically told the disciples, hey, go steal a donkey. And if anyone catches you, just tell them I'm going to borrow it and I'll bring it back. You realize he didn't say find the donkey, try to find out who owns it, talk to those people, ask if you can borrow it, and bring it back. He didn't say that. He said go untie it and take it. And while they're in the middle of stealing a donkey, that's when the people came out. And see, people, you know, we read the Bible and don't actually really think about it. Jesus actually told them to go steal a donkey. Have you ever thought about that? You know, people say, well, if Jesus tells me to do something, I'll do it. No problem. No. I mean, it took faith for these disciples. I mean, I don't know what the punishment of stealing a donkey could be, but I mean, you know, I could have landed up in, you know, in the county, you know, jail for a night, you know, trying to steal a donkey. You tried, you know, if you tried that today's thing, go steal a car for Jesus, you might be visiting other people that afternoon in the county lockup. So I just want to say this. Jesus hasn't told anyone to go steal the car for him. You know, don't be using that excuse. Well, I'm going to return it soon. So, but anyway, you know, it is interesting that a lot of times that on Palm Sunday, we pay a lot of attention to the palms, the palm leaves that they laid down. But I want to talk about the donkey today. You know, and I think that I probably am good about talking about donkeys. You know, some people might think I'm a donkey. But it is interesting because, you know, usually a king would ride a horse. Not just any old horse, the best horse. Not a donkey. Why did Jesus pick a donkey? I mean, you know, wouldn't it, I mean, here's something else. I'm surprised we don't read, because, you know, that Peter told the king, told Jesus, you deserve a horse, not a donkey. You know, but Jesus came in a donkey. And here's the reason he came as a donkey, according to, if you, you know, says, unlike the horse is referred to as an animal of war. All right? The donkey, according to Eastern tradition, is an animal of peace. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So when he came that day riding a donkey, he was showing, I'm bringing peace to all mankind. And you know, actually, when we talked about before, the last thing that Jesus said before whenever he came back and appeared to his disciples, he says, peace I leave you with. Jesus was all about peace. It's all about peace and all about love. You know, peace, brother. Anyway, He wasn't about war. Now, it does say in Eastern tradition that a king, a lot of times, if they came to, if they rode in on a horse, then they were thinking about war. Sometimes that the king might ride in on a donkey, and he said, "I come in peace." It's like coming with a white flag. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on here. Now, do you realize that Jesus knew what he was supposed to do to provide eternal life to us? He knew that he was going to be the sacrificial lamb. You understand that? I mean, we know he knew that because Jesus was praying in the garden, "Father, if there be any other will, let this cup pass from me." All right? So Jesus knew that these same people that he was going to ride in on were going to betray him shortly after that. Now think about this. Let's put yourself in the situation. All right? Let's think about you, knowing your fate, knowing that there's going to be a bunch of people turn on you and you're going to die on a cross. So most of us, instead of riding in the town, being easy to find, we would be playing hide and go seek. "Hey guys, in a few days they're going to kill me, so I'm going to hide out in the bushes over here, or in some hole over here, and you got to find me." No, Jesus is in the open. Now here's something else. Jesus also knew that these people that are admiring him right now are going to stab him in the back a few days later. How many of you want to go hang out with people going to stab you in the back a few days later? I mean, how many of you are like, "You know what? I know this guy's going to stab me in the back, so I'm going to spend the week with him." No, when Jesus came in, he was saying, "You know what? Even though that I know that you're going to stab me in the back, I want to show that I love you. And it's okay. We're going to live in peace because it's the greatest kind of love ever. I'm going to walk in love." You know, and I think it's an amazing feat. And you think about, because see, we don't think about Jesus as a mere man. We think about, you know, him as a son of God. But he came to this earth and he lived as a man just like you and I do. He has feelings. You understand? Our feelings can get hurt. And in 2021, it's really easy to hurt people's feelings. People get hurt feelings just because you say something wrong on the internet. You know, and people get hurt because of every kind of feelings. I mean, think about Jesus. I mean, he's walking into, and these people are praising him today, but he knows that tomorrow they're going to stab him in the back. I mean, a lot of us will say, "You know what? Forget you guys. I'm going to go hide out in the hole." But that wasn't the plan. That wasn't what he was supposed to do. So I actually got a hold of an article in the Daily Oklahoman. The Daily Oklahoman actually is the newspaper in Oklahoma City. Anyone realize that? And there's a gentleman who writes an article for them. I started writing an article for him, and then he actually started International Bible Study Commentary. And his name, let me find it, his name is L.G. Parkhurst, Jr., and he wrote this December the 19th, Saturday, December the 19th, 2015. Thought that was interesting because Saturday, December 19th, 2015 was not Palm Sunday. It wasn't close to Easter. I guess it was close to Jesus' birthday, so maybe that's why he wrote it. But he's talking about the donkey. And so, you know, if you're going to be a donkey, you've got to talk about the donkey here. And here's what he says. "A donkey could be of valuable service to its owners and others. The Bible does not say so, but pictures show Mary riding a donkey to Bethlehem before Jesus' birth." So interesting that Jesus rode a donkey before his birth, and he rode a donkey before his death. Pretty easy, you know. Everyone's into all kinds of symbology, whatever, so donkey is a cool thing. All right. Anyway, so the Bible does teach that Jesus rode a borrowed donkey into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. According to Jewish law, I mean, this scripture actually, the Jewish law is Exodus 13:13. It says this: according to the Jewish law, the donkey was an unclean animal. So understand, so the donkey wasn't a clean animal. It wasn't the most, you know, awesome animal. It was an unclean animal. And it says this, through Moses, God said that if an owner wanted to keep and use his firstborn donkey, he would need to redeem it. Well, how do you redeem it? He would need to sacrifice a lamb rather than kill his donkey. If he refused to redeem his donkey, he must kill it. Now think about that. Symbology, sacrificing a lamb so the donkey could live. All right? So God's laws about sacrifices pointed toward the reason for Jesus' birth. That's why we started in John 3:16. We have all made ourselves morally and spiritually unclean by our sins. We have all defiled the name of God and defied him. We deserve death because we have behaved like stubborn donkeys before God, our creator. Thankfully, God wants to save us from death, the death we rightly deserve. God wants to cleanse us and make us holy, restoring what he intended us to become. God wants to make valuable and useful what we have mistreated by our short-sighted self-interest and selfishness. To do so, Jesus came as a sacrificial lamb to die the death we deserve to save us from our sins. And then, you know, here at the end it says, as the owner redeemed his unclean donkey, Jesus came to redeem us so we can joyfully serve God and others. L.G. Parkhurst Jr., for the Daily Oklahoman. Once again, that's on December 19th, 2015. So folks, you know what? We're the donkey. And Jesus redeemed us. You know, we might not be the most worthy thing. And so I want to talk about three things. First of all, you know, I was thinking about the donkey and, you know, and all these things, because as I read more, I mean, you know, it is interesting. But the one thing the donkey was, is he was available. Are you available? See, you know, Jesus told the disciples to go into town and find the donkey. But remember, he also says, you know, find the donkey that has never been ridden before. An untamed donkey. So that means that this donkey wasn't trained to do what Jesus was going to ask him to do. But he was available. You know, sometimes that we think that God, there's somebody else that's more qualified to do what you would like me to do. You know, God, use somebody else because they're more qualified. They have more education. They're more outgoing. They're better looking, you know, or whatever it might be. But you know what? God's not looking for the person that's the most qualified. In fact, many times, I mean, the people who were the least qualified were the one that God chose. We talked about this the other day. We talked about whenever they anointed David the king, that he wasn't the most qualified. He was the least qualified of all the brothers. But God's not looking for someone who's qualified. He's looking for someone who's available. To be a donkey, you got to be available. You got to be available, and you got to be willing to be used by God, regardless of what skills you may or may not have. Because God's not looking for you to have skills. He's looking to train you to do his plan and his purpose. So are you available? Are you an open, willing vessel, the Bible says? Be an open, willing vessel to be used by him. And I know we all say that, you know what, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go until God tells you to go somewhere you don't want to go. Do you realize it's easy to follow God as long as you're doing something that you want to do? I know my grandfather talked about that when the Lord led him back, you know, he was in the pastoral ministry for 12 years and pastored a number of different churches, and that he was talking about that the God had laid it on his heart to go to a church that wasn't as good and didn't have as nice a parsonage as another church that he would have liked to have gone to. But God laid it on his heart, and God laid it on my grandmother's heart. And he says, you know what? The reason I know it was God, because I didn't want to do it. But I knew I should. Are you available? Are you willing? Are you an open, willing vessel? Because a donkey has to be available. You know, and we owe it to Jesus. I mean, you know, he sacrificed so that we could live. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, like I said. You know, and he was our ultimate sacrifice. He was the sacrificial lamb for us. But are you available? Number two, to be a donkey, you have to be submissive. What do you mean? Well, you got to do what the Lord wants you to do. Now, it is interesting. Once again, it was a wild donkey that had never been ridden before. No man had ever sat on his back. Now, do you realize, and I'm not a donkey trainer, a horse trainer, or whatever, but do you realize that a wild animal has to be broken in? I mean, if you decide that, you know, let's say your name is Bill, you decide, hey, I'm Bill the Magnificent or whatever, I'm going to go find a donkey never been ridden. If you sit on a donkey's back, he's going to kick you off. To kick you off, because it's unnatural to him. That's not the norm. And even whenever you're being trained, you know, it's normally for you to maybe get kicked off the horse a few times. But you know, when you're training a horse or training a donkey, I'm sure it's the same way. I really, like I said, I'm not a donkey trainer. I have gone to the zoo before, gone to a farm before. Never rode a donkey. Have rode a horse. So. Never been bucked off one. My sister did. She got bucked off one time. So anyway, that's a whole other story. But this was a wild donkey. Now, what's ultimately mean, you know, for Jesus to ride this donkey, actually it was a miracle. Actually, it was a miracle for him to be able to ride this donkey to town. It was a miracle. But you know what? If you're just willing and available and submissive, Jesus can work a miracle in your life. And yeah, it might be a little uncomfortable because, I've never done this before, but you know what? You're not doing it alone. You're doing it with Jesus. He's on your back. He's with you. You realize that anything that we do, you know, now that we've been saved, that everywhere we go, we bring Jesus with us. We're not in this alone. The Bible says we're never alone. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so he's right there with us. And, you know, all we got to do is be available and be submissive to do whatever he wants us to do. How hard or easy it is, it doesn't really matter. You know, sometimes, you know, we'll balk and buck whenever Jesus asks us to carry out and do something, just like you might do it when your boss asks you to do something, you know, and, you know, but you find out you can question your boss and you can also work another job. You know, Jesus is more loving and more compassionate, I guess, you know, but you know what? We got to be submissive. And if you don't know how to be submissive, I encourage you to right now get out your phone, go to rbtc.org, fill out the information, come and become a Bible school student. That's for you here and you online. And you'll have a class on submission and authority. Reverend Dan Taylor. We see Dan as a singing man over here, all really nice and kind and things like that. But how many's had his class? All right, you know. It's one of people's favorite classes, but you know, sometimes you'll be balking and a bucking a little bit. You know, but we need to be willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. In order to be willing to be led, we have to be submissive. The third thing the donkey is he was unafraid. Do you realize he's already carrying Jesus? I mean, this is already an uncharted territory because this is a donkey that no man has ever ridden before. Never had a person riding that donkey before, so he's carrying Jesus. Now, you realize that animals get spooked. And you don't have to say boo for them to get spooked. Some people, you know, I know, you know, we would think, if you say boo, they'll get spooked. No, that's a baby thing. You know, peek-a-boo. You know, that doesn't spook animals. But what does spook animals is when a large crowd gathers and starts shouting out different praises to Jesus. The fact that that animal didn't buck him off and run to hide in the hills that Jesus had been hiding in is a miracle. But you know what? When the master was riding the donkey, he wasn't afraid. Now, human nature, or donkey nature, should have been afraid. You know, and we have learned a lot about fear over this last year and a half. The news, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Doolittle, Dr. Parks, Doctor, internet doctor, TV doctor, has been telling you, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. But my Bible says that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So I'm not going to be afraid, but you know what? I'm going to have power, and I'm going to love people. I'm going to love you even though you tell me to be afraid. Doesn't matter. I'm still going to love you. Because you know what? I'm not going to be afraid. You say, yeah, but people die. And I know. I feel bad for the people that have died. I feel bad for the people who have been sick. But you know what? It's just like any other disease. People have died of cancer. But Jesus Christ took the stripes on his back, and by his stripes, we were healed. We were healed of cancer. We were healed of colds. We were healed of AIDS. We were healed of asthma. We were healed of any sickness or disease that will ever affect the mankind. So I don't care about this strain, that strain, another strain, any other strain, you know, doesn't matter. I don't care about COVID 2021, COVID 2022, you know, whatever disease name you want to have. I don't care about any disease because it's not about the disease. It's about the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, that took the stripes on his back. And by his stripes, I was healed. And even a donkey like me can live in that salvation. And I'm not afraid. I'm never afraid. I mean, you know, the Bible, I mean, see, my mom taught me not, Psalms 91 at a young age. And the Psalms 91 says that no plague shall come, should never come, it says nigh, I have a tough time, but it shouldn't come near my dwelling place. It talks about 1,000 people dying on one side, 10,000 on the other, but it will not harm me. And I believe the Bible. I mean, that's my heritage. I mean, my grandfather, all he would tell me was, the Bible is true. I believe it. That settles it. God says that I believe it, that settles it. So you either believe the Bible or you don't. My grandfather never taught me to believe the TV people. My grandfather never taught me to believe the doctors. Now, he did say that one of the greatest things ever was Christian doctors. He believed that there was power in prayer and medicine working together. And I believe, I mean, I'm so, you know, I love Christian doctors. I think we should have more of them. And we should have more of them on TV. That is bringing forth hope, help, and healing to this world. That's our motto. We bring forth hope, help, and healing. That's what we do. We might be a donkey, but we provide hope, help, and healing because we have somebody that's with us, someone that's controlling us, someone that's maneuvering us. That's Jesus Christ. The fourth thing, once again, we talked about this already, is that Jesus was the supreme sacrifice so that we didn't have to be. We didn't have to be. We can still just be a donkey. But you know, I started out, and I'm going to read it again. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. New Living, I mean. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son. So everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. So our responsibility, even though Jesus now is not with us in person, after we celebrate what happens next week, which is Easter, and well, I don't want to get too much on that. I'll let Dad talk about that next week. All right? But after we celebrate Easter, and then we have, you know, death, hell, and the grave, and then he came back and sitting on the right-hand side of the Father, and the same Spirit that was with him now dwells in us. And so it's our responsibility to still be a donkey. We're still supposed to bring the message of Jesus to our Jerusalem. What do you mean by that? Our Jerusalem is where we live. Now, yeah, we do bring hope, help, and healing to the world, but it starts right where we live. I've made a more conscious effort over the last few months to get more involved in our city, state, local, and even national, you know, government, here with the city. I had a situation yesterday. I'm a race car people, all right? Our mission field, because of my father, is a mission field to the racing community. It's what we do. Everybody there knows we're ministers. Everybody there knows that we're there to help. We provide hope, help, and healing to them. My wife is a doggy person. I'm not a doggy person. I'm a race car person. My wife wanted to help out a local shelter here right behind Rhema. So we did a telethon last night, and we raised $13,000 for that shelter. And I'm excited about that. You know, why? Because you know what? Those people don't all believe like I do. Some of them are a little more liberal. But they know I was there to love on them, help them, and I was a pastor. Because you know what? They need to see good things from us. Because, you know, we are the donkey. We're not the Savior. We're just someone that God uses to bring forth the Savior. And you can preach a lot without saying a word. Because people will not care until they know you do. They don't care what you say. They want to know you care. They want to know that you want to bring, you know, healing and hope. And, you know, because of my relationship with some city people, I was able to bring the mayor, bring some of the city council members there, you know, to invite this gentleman who's on a 50-state tour, you know, that's raising money for homeless shelters and be able to invite them and help them or bring some dignitaries. You know what? And, you know, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. But you know what? We need to be a help to our community. You know, because if you're not going to help your community, you can't help the world. A lot of churches, you know, they want to do all kinds of missions, but they don't want to do anything in their community. But the church is about the community. Do you know we spend a lot of money on Christmas lights? A lot of money on Christmas lights. People said, you know, Craig, you could actually do all kinds of stuff. You know what? Do you know how many people come to this campus because of Christmas lights? Do you know what kind of opportunity we have to bring forth the light, that we are the light of the world? You know, and that's just something we do. We have Bible schools and we have Christmas lights. That's what we're known for. And my son tells me we're going to be at 3 million, right? Next year was our 40th. What was it, 40th year? 40th year next year celebration. We're going to be at 3 million Christmas lights. We're going to spend more money and have more Christmas lights because you know what? We want to be the light to this world because, you know, we're just the donkeys, but we're showing forth Jesus. And we're showing forth Jesus to the world. So I want to read a couple of scriptures about that, and then I'll let you go. Acts 1:8, New Living Translation. It says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere. And then he goes on, he starts in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Notice he started in Jerusalem, he started in his hometown, and then he went regionally, and then he went to the whole earth. But what are we supposed to do, folks? We're supposed to tell people about Jesus. You know what? Because he's still with you. You're just a donkey. Still bringing forth Jesus. When you walk into the thing, what you're doing is you have to realize you're not walking on four legs. You're only walking on two. And if you have to imagine, maybe you should imagine it this way. You're giving Jesus a piggyback ride into the city. And it's not about the donkey. You're the donkey. It's about the man. You know, you heard of the thing, the man, the myth, the legend. Well, he's no legend. He is a legend, but he was real. The man, Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. Paul says that I don't know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, I believe with Paul. I don't have to know anything. I don't have to have any kind of kudos. It's not about me because I'm just an old donkey. You know, and I can do what I can't do because I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I can do it. Not because of me. I'm just really the donkey, guys. And so are you. I know you didn't want to come to church today to find out you're a donkey. But I want you to be the best donkey you can be. Because see, it's not about you, but about who is in you and what he is doing through you. And I don't care how much training you have or have not had, Jesus can work a miracle through your life, because he was able to steer that donkey that had never been ridden through a maze of people that were going crazy. And I mean, they were going crazy in a good way, but that's still scary for this donkey. But you know what? They did. I want to leave you off with one more thing, and one of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He says, then he told them to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Go into all the world and preach the good news. Now, he didn't say to go judge the world. He didn't say go condemn the world. He didn't say go talk about the world. He didn't say gripe at all the other Christians on Facebook. He said to go into all the world for one purpose and one purpose only, to tell the good news. What's the good news? That Jesus Christ saved us. Jesus Christ healed us. Jesus Christ set us free. And Jesus Christ is coming again. And if you want to live an eternal life, you can, if you'll just be a donkey like me. Just that simple. Go into all the world. And that's what we do here at Rhema. And you know what? People think Rhema is about Brother Hagin. It's not. It's not about him. Even before Brother Hagin was even here, a young man named Rupert Bailey prayed on these grounds, and the Lord told him that from this place would be a mighty outpouring that would touch the world. So you know what? You're at the right place at the right time in the right future. And if we get some more donkeys, if we get some more donkeys, not the stubborn donkeys, because they say donkeys are stubborn, but the willing, obedient, you know, available. Doesn't matter how much training you have, but if you want to be a donkey, we can touch the world. And it's not because your donkeyness. It's because of Jesus' awesomeness. Because see, we're supposed to proclaim the good news about Jesus. Supposed to proclaim that he did come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He did come not to bring fear, but to bring hope, help, and healing. He did come. And we'll talk about next week about how he rose. You know, I know this has been a little bit a different sermon you've ever heard before. You've never come to church to learn how to be a donkey. But I want to encourage each and every one of you that are here, each and every one of you that are watching us online, to be the best donkey you can ever be. But understand you're only a donkey. And I don't care how big you get, I don't care how big your ministry is, you're still just a donkey. You're not going to be the king. You're not going to be the master. You might have some kind of celebrity status, but you won't have any more celebrity status if you lose hold of your purpose in life is to be a donkey. I know you didn't think that my purpose in life was to be a donkey, but it sure is. Your purpose in life is to come carry the message of Jesus to a lost and a dying and a hurting world. And it makes me cry because, you know, there are 5 billion people on the road to hell, according to the best math I can do. 5.8 billion. That was last September in my class. We figured that out. 5.8 billion people on the road to hell, and you're over here arguing with people on Facebook. I ain't care less about people on Facebook unless they're somewhere from around the world that need Jesus. Because you know what? If you're arguing with people on Facebook, they're not going to want to listen to you. If you want to tweet something, you want to Facebook something, you know, Facebook, you know what? God's love, and he loves you, and he wants to change your life. I'm just a donkey, guys. And I want you to join with me to be a donkey for Christ. You know, we can get a club going on, Donkeys for Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify you. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. And Father, we thank you for letting us help you spread your message to a lost and a dying and hurting world. Father, we just thank you for an opportunity to be a donkey in your kingdom. We just thank you, and I want to, on behalf of everyone here and everyone watching online, I want to apologize, Lord, for some of us donkeys have been a little too stubborn, a little bit too much not available, or not willing to go out and touch this world because we were complacent to do whatever we were doing. But Father God, we thank you right now that the fire of God through this donkeyness of a message will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be more willing to go out, more willing to be used by you. We just thank you for it now. But Father, we thank you if anyone is here in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you that today they'll come back or they'll come into his kingdom. Or maybe they are here. And like my grandfather said, they need one of these know-so experience. They don't know whether they're saved or not, but they can know today. Or maybe at one time in their life that they knew that they were saved, but they've turned their back. They went away. They walked away, but they want to come back home today on Donkeyness Sunday, and they want to rededicate their life to God. With head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today in this room and you've never been saved, or you don't know whether you've been saved or not, or you want to rededicate your life, today is the day of salvation. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. If you're here and you've never been saved, or you want to rededicate your life, or you don't know whether you've been saved before, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We don't want anybody to miss out. We want, because you know what? You can't be a real donkey if you're not carrying Jesus. And the way to get hold of Jesus is get that same spirit on the inside of you by accepting him as your Lord and Savior. I don't want anybody to miss out. Anybody here in this room that needs to be saved. Amen. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you right now. If anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you, Father, that you'll send laborers across their path on a daily basis, and they will come back, and they will come into the kingdom of God. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.